I ran a dirty rag over the old Formica countertops about 20 times every night, but it never seemed to do much good. Then a layer of grease seemed to cling to every surface in the diner, no matter how much I tried to wipe it away. Not that I tried all that hard, mind you, still. I at least liked the illusion that the place was clean. The night had been slow. Hell, the whole month had been slow. I'd do a small rush of business around lunch and a small trickle around dinner. But by the time the clock hit 7, the diner was silent as the grave. More often than not, I would send Bruce home early. There wasn't much need for two cooks when there were almost no customers. And on particularly slow nights, I'd send Lucy home as well. She had a couple of little kids she liked to put in bed. There's no tips anyway when you don't have anyone ordering food. And our last diners had left nearly an hour before, and I let her head home about a half an hour later. There are only 3 hours left before I would have to close the place up, and I could handle taking orders and cooking the food if anyone happened to stop in. The last of the dishes had just come out of the sanitizer when I started to feel the tingle of nicotine withdrawal. When the diner was busy, I could go hours without a smoke. But on nights like that, the craving was about my only company. Sliding the plastic rack of white plates on the drying board, I snagged my coat from the hook by the back door and slid outside. It was a cold night, and the wind was shredding through the trees. The dry, leafless branches rattled together, breaking the silence of the empty night. And I cut my hand around the end of my cigarette, but the breeze kept blowing out the flame of the lighter. Huddling against the building, I finally got the tip burning and took a satisfying puff. Smoke and the condensation from my breath clouded around my head as I rambled toward the corner of the diner, looking up the road for any sign of traffic. Now, I wasn't counting on any more customers that night, but if they showed up, they had the uncanny knack for dropping in as soon as I lit up a smoke. But thankfully, my eyes met nothing but the darkness of the road, and I took another deep drag. And as I exhaled, a set of headlights peeked around the bend in the road and spread through the cloud of smoke and vapor. The car was moving fast, and I was certain that it would pass by, heading to some happier and more populated destination. And just to stay on the side of caution, I took another long drag. And as soon as I was done, the wheels of the car nearly locked up, and it hooked a hard left across the oncoming lane and slid to a stop and the gravel lot. I rolled my eyes and dropped the butt, grinding it under my heel. Two car doors slammed as I pulled the kitchen door open and stepped in. I pulled off my coat and put it back on the hook, washed my hands, and headed to the pass-through window, just as the old bell on the front door clanged.
Welcome to Mel's,
I shouted through the opening. A middle-aged man and a woman were standing by the front door, scanning the room.
Y'all sit anywhere you like, and I'll be out with a few menus.
You closing up, sir? The man asked as he shifted into a booth halfway down the dining room. His hair was nearly black, and hung down the side of his head in shaggy waves. His wife, short and plump, squeezed into the booth on the opposite side.
Almost passed by when we didn't see any cars, but I thought I saw someone out back smoking.
Nah, we're open, partner, just a slow night. Sent the waitress and the other cook home, but I'll take care of you guys. Menus are on the placemats, just give me a shot when you're ready to order.
I turned toward the grill and grabbed the scraper to clear away the burnt flecks of egg and ground beef as I waited. More likely than not, they would order a few cheeseburgers, and it's hard for a diner to screw those up. It would be easier to have the flat top clean and ready to toss those patties on.
Sir?
The man called.
I think we're ready.
Wandering back through the pass-through window, I poked my head out and gave them a smile. And as soon as my face entered the small opening, a light odor, like rotting meat, filled my nose. It smelled like a steak had gone bad in the fridge, but I did my best to hold back the sickened expression. Telling customers you smelled something that had gone over in your restaurant wasn't a good recipe for success.
What will it be? I asked cheerfully.
Two cheeseburgers, please,
the wife said with a smile, revealing a mouth full of yellowing teeth. The skin on her face looked saggy, and she looked thinner than she had when they had first came in. I rubbed my eyes.
And a couple of Cokes to drink as well.
You got it,
I shouted, and walked to the cooler, reaching in and grabbing a few beef patties before tossing them on the grill. The beef was already sizzling lightly when I reached a swinging door to the front counter. I walked to the soda machine and filled two glasses with ice and thumbed the button on the Coke fountain. The foam was billowing toward the top of the glass as another wave of decay washed over me. It was all I could do to hold back a loud retch.
Folks,
I said, trying to keep my stomach from turning.
Does something smell bad in here?
I turned toward the couple who were both smiling pleasantly in my direction. Their teeth weren't just yellow now, but they were marked with black signs of decay near a receding gum line. The husband's face seemed stretched over his skull, his cheekbones jutting out sharply, and his eyes deeply recessed in their sockets. The woman was definitely looking thinner than before, her skin, heavily powdered and covered in makeup, was deeply creased and breaking apart. Dots of dark blood here and there in her wrinkles, and her jowly cheeks nearly rested on her shoulders. I carried the sodas towards the table, eyes locked on the both of them. They looked so unhealthy, but they were as pleasant as anyone could hope. And for a moment, I thought to ask them if they were feeling well, but that would seem rude. As I reached the table and sat the glasses in front of them, the stench became overwhelming. It was definitely coming from them.
Much appreciated, kind sir, the man exclaimed.
And his wife nodded, her long jowls slapping against her neck. She would smile and one of her teeth would fall out into the table.
Oops,
she exclaimed, almost gleefully.
I guess I'll need to see a dentist soon. Randall, my bridge is falling out.
I turned and headed back toward the kitchen, my stomach turning.
There had been a fair share of customers over the years that I didn't care for. But those two had crawled to the top of the list in less than 15 minutes. I pushed a swinging door to the kitchen open and flipped the burgers, staring at the grill and willing the patties to cook faster. I just wanted them to leave. Once the burgers were finished, I tossed a few pieces of cheese on them and slid them into the buns. By then, the rank smell of decay had poured into the kitchen, and I was struggling not to vomit on the flat top. I picked up the plates and took them to the table, dropping them in front of the customers without a word and heading back toward the kitchen.
"Thank you, good sir,"
the woman shouted gleefully as I grabbed my jacket from the peg by the door. I needed a cigarette. I couldn't stand the thought of staying inside for another moment. And just as I pushed the back door open, she called out again.
"These tasted incredible. Maybe the best burger I've ever had."
The door slammed behind me, and I fished out a cigarette and put it between my lips. My hands were shaking as I lifted the lighter to it. My hands weren't shaking from the cold, but from the growing sense of unease. If they weren't done eating by the time I went back in, I was going to tell them to leave. My body shuddered against the cold breeze. Looking down at my watch, I saw that I had been outside for 15 minutes. The cold had damn near settled into my bones, but still, I didn't want to go inside. It may have been enough time for them to finish eating, but I couldn't be sure. Scared that frostbite would set in if I didn't quit screwing around in the back lot, I pushed the door open and put my jacket back on the hook. And to my surprise, the smell of rot and decay was completely gone. But it had been replaced by a dank, musty odor. Not great, but it was better than the smell of old meat in the hot sun.
"Is that you, young man?"
I heard the woman call from the dining room.
"We finished and put our payment on the counter. We've got to get going, but we appreciate your hospitality."
I sighed with relief.
Thank you, ma'am," I called out,
waiting to hear the old cowbell above the door clang with their exit. But the sound never came. Slowly, I eased my way through the pass-through window to see what was holding them up. There was no sound coming from the dining room, and a nervous knot built up in my stomach, and the dank, mildew smell had become almost as unbearable as the rotting odor had been. And when I looked through the cutout, I screamed. Two skeletons sat in the booth, both leaning against the window with their jawbones resting on their sternums. Their clothes were moth-eaten and ragged, hanging in tatters from their stick-thin frames. And chunks of half-chewed burgers were still clinging to their blackened teeth. A piece falling now and again, rolling down their chest to the floor. And on the counter sat a stack of weathered bills, a fingernail, and loose shreds of skin sticking to the 20 on top.